إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we have been talking about a sense of belonging that we should have, and to see whether we do have it or not, as far as being the ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned. So what is my sense of belonging to Islam? What is my sense of belonging as the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do I have that sense of belonging and brotherhood, or do I not have it? And that is what we have been talking about for the last 2 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this sense of belonging. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Verily, this ummat of yours is one ummat. This brotherhood of yours is one brotherhood. And I am your Rabb, so worship me. Fa'budun. And in the other place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the same thing, exactly the same ayat, except that the last word is different. Instead of fa'budun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fattaqun. Have my taqwa. Fa'budun refers to aqidah, refers to ibadah, refers to tawheed. Fattaqun refers to the way in which that aqidah and that tawheed is manifested in our lives. The way in which the aqidah of tawheed is manifested in life is by living a life which does not displease Allah. By living a life where we fear to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed consists of accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only one worthy of worship and worthy of obedience. And taqwa consists of showing that through our actions, in our lives, through our mu'amilat, through our akhlaq, to show that we worship and are concerned only about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will not do anything which displeases Allah, no matter who else is involved in that particular thing. And that is what distinguishes this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as the distinguishing feature. Who is the ummah? Those who worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who fear to displease only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say this ummah of yours is an ummah of Arabs, or it's an ummah of black people or white people or brown people or north or south. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this ummah of yours is one ummah. And what is the distinguishing feature? If somebody says, okay, so this is one ummah, how do I find out who is there, who belongs to it? The one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and who fears to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This person, man or woman, belongs to this ummah. If there is somebody who worships anyone other than Allah, or who adulterates the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the worship of anyone else, or anyone who lives a life where he does not fear to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not fear to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not fit this category, does not fit this criteria. And therefore this person has to ask, do I belong to this ummah or not? I will not say whether he belongs to the ummah or not, that's for him to decide. But he must think about this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the distinguishing feature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who is the one who is this part of this ummah? These two qualities. Somebody who worships only Allah and somebody who has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman wa taqwa, iman wa amal. Taqwa is the manifestation of the amal. Now, in this sense of belonging, therefore, if we look at this carefully, we need to then ask ourselves, where do I fit into this? Look at our own lives and say, where do I fit into this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this very clearly, very simple, very clear. There is no confusion in this. So in my life, am I obeying only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Am I worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Worship is both in terms of sujood, in terms of actually bowing before somebody or something, which is our formal worship. Worship also is to be careful about who we join with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or the other. So it is tawheed of uluhiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawheed of rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Tawheed of rububiyat. See, the usual problem which happens with a lot of good people, good Muslims, is that with the uluhiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is generally no problem. Muslims will not go and make a sajda to some thing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This they will not do. But what they do is other things. For example, they have these beliefs of, good luck and bad luck, and this one suits and that one does not suit, and all of this stuff of vastu and feng shui and all of this stuff, right? So simultaneously, while worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day in the masjid, they also believe in vastu. They also believe that, this brings good luck and that brings bad luck. To the extent that even in terms of things which are, by nature good things, take the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself, take what is written in the Quran, but then people will take that and convert it into one formula, write those ayats on a piece of paper, put it in a, tie it up in a sack and hang it around the neck and say, this is tawis. And this tawis is over, then nothing, there is only the Quran in this. True, there is nothing else, there is only the Quran in it. But now, where has your reliance, where has your tawakkul gone from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this thing which is hanging around your neck? And the fact that you take those ayat of the Quran also into the bathroom and everywhere because it is around your neck, what do you do with that? Tying one thread around your wrist or around your ankle, these are all things which we are seeing on a daily basis. All of this, and these are, where do I see them? I see them from people who are coming and praying in the masjid. So, one good thing is, alhamdulillah, the person is praying in the masjid, but he is adulterating that iman and that tawheed with all of these things. Including, for example, sometimes, we have tawarrukat in the house, various things which we have. In my grandfather's house, we have, my grandfather was twice, he was the leader of the khafila, the delegation of Hujjaj, which went to Hajj as guests of the King of Saudi Arabia. In those days, it was the father of all of these people, Abdulaziz ibn Saud. He was, my grandfather was the head of the department of religious endowments in Hyderabad state. So he took this group of people on behalf of the Nizam of Hyderabad twice. So when he went there, he went as a state guest, and so he was invited to the washing of the Kaaba. He took part in that, and then the cover of the Kiswa of the Kaaba. Those days it was almost this color, it's sort of maroon, very deep maroon color, not the completely black that we have now. So he was given this piece of this also, of the cover of the Kaaba. So we have this in our house. Now, many times what happens is people will come and they will stand next to it and they will touch this Kaaba, this Kaaba, Kiswa of the Kaaba, they rub their face with it and so on. And then if you take, you tell them, what is it you are doing? They say, no, wo to barakat ki cheez hai. This is a thing of barakah, this is a cover of the Kaaba. All of this amounts to shirk in one way or the other. Because, and nobody is denying the barakah of that. Alhamdulillah, it's a good thing, it is a cover of the Kaaba. But at the end of the day, it is a cloth. It is a piece of cloth. What is it? It's a piece of cloth. This is where Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, we know this famous thing, where he addressed the Hajar al-Aswad itself. And he said, I kiss you only because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed you. He said, otherwise you are only a stone. Why is he saying this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, follow me and follow my, the Khulafa al-Rashida. And the Therefore, this is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu saying, don't. That is the reason why even the tree under which, and this tree is mentioned in the Quran, in under which Baitul Ridwan took place in Hudaybiyah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat of forgiving all of those people who took part in that bayah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tree under which this bayah was had taken place in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, it was reported to him that people going to Makkah and coming back from Makkah, they are stopping under this tree and they are praying there. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu got this tree cut. He had this tree removed. They asked him, why did you do that? He said, because this will become a place of shirk going forward. People are now doing this. Then a time will come when they will start worshipping the tree. Now think about this. Why is there among the people of knowledge, and there is no one who is superior in knowledge than those who learnt directly from Rasulullah ﷺ, among these people and including the Prophet ﷺ himself, why is there this enormous sensitivity with regard to shirk? Huge sensitivity. I mean, sometimes you might think about it and say, what is this? I mean, like almost like nitpicking every small thing. But that, the problem is, it's like one of my articles, I call it the thin edge of the wedge. You know, when you want to cut a tree, they make a incision and then they drive a wedge into that. A wedge is a triangular piece of wood. And this wedge, the thin edge is very thin, so it goes in easily. But as you drive it, it splits the whole tree because it becomes bigger and bigger as it goes inside. And this is the thin edge of the wedge as far as shirk is concerned. The minute you start accepting something, take the ghilaf of the Kaaba, the kiswa of the Kaaba, and you say, oh, this is barakah, so I'm going to touch it. The moment you start that, it will lead you someday to actual idol worshipping. The moment you start respecting something beyond the respect that is due to it, I'm not saying take the kiswa of Kaaba and throw it and use it as a carpet. No. By all means, respect it. By all means, keep it safely. Alhamdulillah, this is it's a good relic and it's a means of barakah. But it is not a means of barakah in the sense that it is not going to make you better or worse or whatnot, right? If somebody dies as a mushrik or a kafir, if somebody dies without iman, you can make his kafan of the kiswa of the Kaaba, he will still go into the hellfire, believe me. If somebody dies without iman inside the center of the Kaaba, he will still die as a non-Muslim. In Baqi, many of us and all of us, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that we should die in Medina and that we should be buried in Baqi. But also remember that who is also buried in Baqi is Salul. Abdullah bin Salul, who was the head of the Munafiqun. Yeah. Ubay bin Salul, Abdullah was the son. Ubay bin Salul is buried in Baqi. Ubay bin Salul was buried in the thob of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His kafan was the shirt of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His son Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, my father has died and I want you to give your clothing, what you are wearing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he was wearing, he took it off and gave it to him. He was buried in that. And who led his Salatul Janaza? Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led his Salatul Janaza. What was the result of that? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent an ayat in Surah Tawbah and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, if you ask forgiveness for these people 70 times also, Allah will not forgive them. Now tell me, what is the greater barakah than dying and having Rasulullah himself do your Salatul Janaza, which means that everyone else participated also in that. The thob of Nabi itself, that which touched the blessed body of Nabi, this is your kafan. And Nabi buries you and he prays your Salatul Janaza and you are buried in Baqi. And then Allah sends the ayat. There is not even a doubt. Allah sends the ayat to say, this one I will not forgive even if you ask forgiveness for him 70 times. Sab'ina marra. So, one way of understanding is that all things of barakah are barakah provided you are on the right path. Then inshallah everything is barakah. Alhamdulillah. No problem. As long as we are on Tawheed, as long as we do not commit shirk, as long as we do not anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our actions, and we stay on the path of taqwa, then insha'Allah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. This is our hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then being buried in a good place and, you know, dying in a good way and all of this, alhamdulillah, all of these things are good, and inshallah, they are means of barakah. But if that is not so, if these boundary conditions are not there, that's what we call the boundary condition. The boundary condition, you have to satisfy the boundary condition to come inside the boundary. Once you are inside the boundary, alhamdulillah, you know, everything else is a different issue. But when you are not even inside the boundary, when you are somewhere outside, then where is the question of whatever happens inside the house is inside the house. You are standing outside the gate. Where is the, how can that help you? And that is the reason why we need to be very careful with regard to this. So in the issue of sense of belonging, who belongs within the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The one who is on Tawheed and the one who has taqwa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who have Tawheed and who have taqwa, and to live our lives with that and to die with that, insha'Allah al-musta'an. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.